Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
But I know in order for my mind and my body to come under subjection to the Holy Spirit, my actions, my behavior, my attitude, all of it's got to change. Living a victorious life in Christ is a matter of thinking the way God thinks.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Let's go into a new sermon series with Pastor Rogers. This series goes along with Pastor Rogers' recent sermon series, Transformed. This is Mind Management Part 1. Nothing changes until your mind changes. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers today.
Be responsible. 6 days away. Isn't that a revolutionary thought? Our government right now is trying to figure out how we can do a four-day work week. And we continue to rebel against the known will of God. And now the benediction. What's this all about? It's all about mind management because we are, listen, that's the reason why I don't get very many amens on that. Because we're so far off of the bubble, off of the marker, that whenever you start reading biblical principles into the society we're in right now, it's so foreign that they can talk a good game, but they never change their mind to comply with the word of God. But let me tell you what's going to stand when all else fails. When the world is on fire, the word is still going to be alive. Thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. So what he said is going to come to pass. And it's critical for us to understand that God is more interested in changing your mind than your circumstances. Oh, God, get me out of this. He said, no, I'm going to keep you in it so it'll change your mind. Then I'll show you my deliverance and you'll give me. Listen, somebody testified to me today that they were within 30 seconds of losing the contract that they had worked on for more than a year. 30 seconds. When the wire transfer and the transaction took place, there was 30 seconds left before the other party was going to cancel. Now, why does God do that stuff and make you bite your fingernails and break out in cold sweats and you got to get a cold rag and you're praying like you never have. You ask everybody to pray and you couldn't find anybody to pray. In fact, why does God do that stuff? To renew your mind. This individual came, stopped by the office and needed to see me. So I got to see you. We're them moments. My phone's blowing up. I just need God to intervene in this situation. I happen to be on the phone. I invited him into the office. Sit down. I'm trying to get the person off the phone that I'm on with to be able to communicate, and I couldn't. So the phone was blowing up with the person in my office. They just said, I'll see you, and got him left. Why does God do that? So that when it's all said and done, he gets the glory. No man did that. I tried to get my preacher to pray and he was on the phone. I called all my prayer partners and I got a busy signal. Nobody understood what I was going through, so I just decided to get out on my face and say, God, if you don't do it, it can't be done. And then suddenly God shows up to show you I am still in charge of this. God will not let you up off of the mat in your circumstances until you get your mind right. Responsibility pays dividends once you choose to walk in the ways of God. And understand that the spirit of responsibility and mind management always attracts the blessings of God. Write this down. It's a great scripture. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. God said, I'm looking for somebody that's fully committed so I can bless them. Ask your neighbor right now beside you, are you the one he's looking for? Come on, ask him right now. Ask him, are you the one he's looking for? Are you fully committed? Come on, somebody. Are you fully committed that God could bless your life? Or are you halfway committed? Because if you're not fully committed, he can't bless you with a full blessing. Because you won't manage it right. You'll eat up your seed. Are you setting things up and managing your affairs so that your children's children can have the blessing?
Amen.
Four people. Are you with me? Can we go a little deeper here? Let's get some more of this word. Mental freedom is more important even than physical freedom. Mental freedom. Several years ago, went to Guatemala. Pastor Jose took us into this place, and we pulled up in the bus that we were riding in with everybody that was there and looked way down, maybe out toward the road, and saw this plastered entrance that looked like something out of an old Western movie where the plaster was falling off of it, kind of spackled, you know, and it was the entrance to one of the most notorious prisons in that area. When I arrived there, when we were pulling up towards it, there were trees of marijuana. I'm not talking about these little bushes that they pull up out here at the Eglin Air Force Base reservation. I'm talking about trees, 12-foot tall marijuana trees in the prison. They had just before we got there a week prior cut another prisoner's head off to intimidate the prisoners and played soccer with it. Thankfully, I didn't know that whenever we arrived. Pastor Jose says, when you get up here, you're going to surrender your passport to them. They're going to write on your arm a number. Don't let it fade off. Taylor was with me. I said, son, whatever you do, don't sweat. We were having a hard time not doing that. Especially when we stepped just inside the gate after going past this entire, I'm hearing. If you don't know what that is, then forget it. You gotta be around for a little while. Need to watch Grit TV or something. We get on the inside, these high top black boots and all black hats, and it's shift change time. So they're passing off their AK-47s and shotguns to the other existing. They're checking them all. All I'm hearing, click, click. I'm in a Spanish prison. I only know English and baño, and I needed it at that moment. We got in there and spent the whole day in that prison. Slaughtered a pig in there, gave out Bibles. They convened on the grass outside. I got up and started to preach. Amazing peace the whole time. Went through all of this. The prisons here are the Ritz-Carlton. At nighttime, there are no bars on the gigantic building that they put them all into. They just shove them in there like cattle, close the door and padlock it, and they're in there for the night. Whoever's the strongest wins. Started to preach. There was probably 700 prisoners out there sitting on the grass, and we just fed them chicken and all that. Everybody got food, and it was time to preach. I got up and started preaching. All of a sudden, I looked over on the left-hand side, and there's a guy who's got these tattooed teardrops that are running all the way down to his cheeks. If you know anything about that, that's his kills. I didn't know it until afterward, but his name was Psycho. He was in there for consecutive life sentences. I started preaching about the cross and about Jesus Christ and the love of God, and And I threw in there something about your mama and your grandmama praying. And he fell out of that lawn chair he was sitting in, hit the ground and began to weep. All of his gang members that were standing around him are looking at him. Now, I was there. I was the preacher, so this is legit happened. I started preaching the word of God, and he fell out of the chair and just fell on the grass and just grabbed his face and started crying. Got down to the end of it, and I led him in the sinner's prayer, and I invited him to come to the front. He was one of the first ones. I'm a little nervous. He gets saved. We get up, we leave, we get out. Thankfully, I didn't sweat too much. Here he is right here. Just last year, this guy who was serving multiple life sentences, Pastor Jose tells me, he said, "You remember that guy named Psycho?" Called him Psycho for a reason. Remember that guy named Psycho? Yeah. What about Psycho? Well, they decided after he got saved and became the leader in the Bible college inside of the prison to let him out and quarantine him to his own hometown, where he now has planted the church and is the pastor in his own hometown outside of the prison. Why did I say that? Because the man got free in his mind before he ever got his freedom outside. He had no promise of his physical freedom. He had no promise of his circumstances changing. But when he got his mind out, y'all, he could see his way clear. Let me give you a few things that you need to know right here. Here's three reasons for mind management and why it's so important. Number one, your thoughts control your life, which the Bible says, since your thoughts control your life, in Proverbs, the Bible tells us there that it is critical then what you think. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. Secondly, that your mind is the battleground. Why is it important? Why is it that it's important for you to manage your mind? Because there is a battle going on in your mind right now. The mere fact that the Word of God is being taught here tonight, there is a battle for your attention. If you're not careful, the spirit of slumber will come on you. And I'll have to have somebody have the spirit of slap. Isn't it amazing how you can be awake all day long and you grab your Bible and... Why is that? Because it's a battle that's going on in your mind. The devil don't want you to get your mind renewed, because if your mind gets renewed, you might change your will and tell your emotions, shut up. I'm going to listen to the Spirit of God. Number three, why is it important for you to manage your mind? Because it is the key, the Bible says in Romans 8:6, to life and peace. I'm about to give you something here in a minute. Get this. An unmanaged mind then leads to tension, stress, depression, and the list goes on and on. You just let your, I'm just going to give them a piece of my mind. You better hold on to it. You might need it. Don't say things out of your mouth like, "I'm about to lose my mind." Because that's an entry point for the enemy to get a foothold in there and tell you, "Yeah, you're losing your mind, all right. You're going to lose it. Come on now. You're going to lose your mind. That's right. You know how you were treated as a child. You know what took place over here. You know how people misled you." And on and on and on. Before you know it, a stronghold has been built up in your mind because you opened the door by letting it come out of your mouth.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the Word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.